January 21st, 2017, and they finally fixed the UI. I'm Colin Detmar.
I'm Jesse Cox.
I'm Nick Sees.
And this is Bottle Crow, a Dota 2 podcast. I guess we didn't decide on how we were going to do that intro, did we, boys?
That's okay. Were you trying to pretend like you were me, Nick?
Yep. This is the low-energy morning Bottle Crow podcast.
It's like low-energy life.
Upgraded to flying. We're still a walking podcast.
I mean, I got like 8 hours of sleep. I got lots of energy. I feel fantastic.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just like...
fantastic.
And that new UI looks fucking good.
Yeah, it does.
It looks right.
I'm worried about that I may have to relearn how to level up skills, because I always did the hold control and press keys method.
It still works.
But if you do that for 1 and 2, wouldn't that assign control groups instead of leveling up your
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's a hotkey for...
There is.
Well, I mean, there is, but it's not like a control hold hotkey.
Right, so I might need to switch to the special key for level ups.
Unless you could bind like control S and then do control S1 and control S2 to choose which talent. That would be good.
Huh. I still just click. I've always clicked it. Like, it's one of the things.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why. Like, I use hotkeys for...
You really like dying in the middle of a fight because you stopped to level up a skill that you needed?
I don't stop. It's just another click.
He never stops.
Man, I don't move my mouse.
We played a game yesterday where I was stopping myself. I don't know. We played a game where I actually did stop myself, and it was a pretty bad thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
People are happy, though.
That's actually, like, the one thing that I never really got in the... I got used to hotkeying was leveling up skills. Like, even when I started playing, I just didn't really bother, but I don't know why. I literally have
no idea
why.
I have an example from just last night where it made a big difference in our game.
Are you talking about me?
No,
tell us.
I'm talking about
tell
me.
Us, Colin.
Oh, God.
I was playing Enchantress. We were fighting in our secret shop. The fight was mostly going... it was going to be about even, but I could tell I was going to die. I leveled up in the middle of the fight. If I'd been able to control 1 or control 2, I would have taken minus 30 respawn time. But if I'd done that, I would have died for sure, and it was possible I would have gotten out, so I had to keep moving.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about... like leveling up. I never even thought about that. I didn't even realize that there were hotkeys to level up.
They just added it with the new patch.
Oh man.
Well, for the mini talents, they just added them. There have always been hotkeys to level up your skills.
Right, right. And that's what I was saying. I never really took the time to learn. Man.
Yeah, and since they're on control 1 and control 2, which has typically been like assigned control group, I assume that won't actually work, that you have to do the like special press a different key and then press the, which is, you know, it's not like a problem, but it's a little too bad for my specific purposes.
I have like approximately none of those memorized too, so except for like some of the level 25s, because they're so don't know, unique.
You can like bring it up though and then not have to click. I'm bad at accurate clicking quickly in team fights, so hotkeys are good.
Truth.
It's a good thing you play mid, then.
Yeah. Where you no mechanical skills required.
Yeah.
I'm just glad the shop is back.
Like, well, they also totally dunked on my Enchantress build with their new shop.
Colin, you're making your own meta.
I just like, come on, phase boosts is real good.
You make your own meta. You don't need those recommended items.
I guess.
You can see your stats now, so you can be like, okay, if I get phase boots, I have this attack damage and this attack speed.
I can see the little +3 armor from towers appear and disappear as I walk by them.
It's nice to have base, and like you can left-click on a morphling and see, okay, if I'm playing Elder Titan, is he going to have 0 armor or 2 armor? I don't know. It's mostly when playing OD that I cared. Like, really? I can't look at people's end easily? Compared to mine.
Yeah.
And then I would use my alt end. Whoop-de-doo. They don't have a little bit of mana.
I mean, sometimes it's a lot of mana. It can be pretty useful. But
it could also delete the entire team.
Aren't those situations in which you would use the alt anyways? like, is there, I don't really play a lot of OD, but is there any situation where, like, you would ult and then you stop because you, like, head check their intelligence?
Well, I want to, so, like, I should be able to quickly glance at my int, say, okay, I have 200 int, and I left click on somebody as I'm right clicking them, and I see, okay, how much int do they have left, or how much do they have versus mine, because if they have 50, then I'll do 1500 magic damage to them. Yeah. So,
and there's
it's like, okay, this is a good target.
And there are questions of, like, so should I go on this one, or, like, if it's a fight that isn't, like, going to shit really fast, you can make the decision of, like, I'm going to hold off and steal some more int first.
So I can one stuff. Shot.
I used to play some OD.
When people are escaping, it's nice to know, okay, should I blow my 100 bajillion second cooldown alt, or should I just take a chill pill?
Yeah, okay, I get it.
And the answer is you should always blow your ult. It looks cool.
Every time.
What?
Okay, so the world of Dota.
Dota world.
Cool.
Events are happening. StarCraft caster and personality Day 9 is... Apparently he got into Dota a while ago, but now he is having streams where he is being coached by Purge.
Thanks, Purge.
And he's doing his own... I mean, he's also doing just regular-ass stream, you know?
Sure.
It's like he's dedicated to learning properly.
Have either of you watched any of these?
I just watched, like, 10 minutes of him playing pubs.
Yeah, I haven't watched a ton, just a few clip highlights I've seen.
I have seen a little bit as well. What did you guys think of it?
I can speak a little bit more to... I don't know how much you guys watched him back in the StarCraft, like, when StarCraft 2 was in its heyday, but...
Tiny bit.
I kind of got into PC gaming through StarCraft 2. Like, before that, it was... I don't know. I just played console games. And Day 9 was, like... I don't know, Day 9 was one of my, if not the only resource for, like, making me take the game a little bit more seriously, I guess, or, like, thinking about shit in a more tactical way. And he could, I don't know, he's just, like, a very approachable, he's, like, I'm trying to compare him to somebody who's, like, already in the Dota community.
Slacks.
Nope. Not even close. Not even a little bit close. I mean, he's approachable.
What about
he's approachable.
Slacks?
He's like halfway between. He's like the Slacks approachability and personality combined with, like, maybe the analytical brain of Purge, but, like, not. He's not at the extreme of either of those. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not the ultra kind of goofball that Slacks is, but he's still a goofball, and he's not like the ultra.
He's an everyman.
The ultra brain that Purge is, but I don't know. It's like a good, it's a super good halfway. And I had this conversation, like, I think with, I forget who's in the party, but I think we talked about it a little while ago on the podcast that, like, part of the reason why we're stuck at, like, around 3K, or the reason that we get stuck at a certain place at any MMR, is because we're kind of the kind of people who, like, we host a fucking Dota 2 podcast, like, we watch Pro Dota and we watch Purge videos on YouTube and, like, read the Reddits and read the patch notes. So we learn all this shit about Dota, but it's so complex that really what it takes to implement that knowledge in the game is, like, an internalization that happens from just playing the game a bunch.
Yeah. Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what Day 9 did to me, and what I'm excited for, like, with Day 9 is that when I was playing StarCraft, I had kind of the same, plateau or, like, hump to get over where I would just, like, do this thing because I knew it was good. And then, over time, like, over winning, I would kind of, like, internalize that this other thing was good, and I would sort of, like, add to my tool set by instinct, and then Day 9 showed me to, like, okay, do this because it has these repercussions, and, like, I don't know, I feel like if you are more mindful in the game of the decisions you're making, and not just kind of doing shit by instinct, then you'll be more successful, because like instincts are good.
You gotta know why you have it, though.
Yeah, exactly. And that comes from like that Blitz video too. But Day 9 is super good at that. Like, did you ever watch those Blitz videos that, where he's like playing Storm Spirit, or like talking? He's playing Storm Spirit, but he's like,
he like constantly explains why he's doing everything.
Yeah, exactly. That video is so fucking like incredible to me, that you're able to like do all that shit, but also talk about it the whole, like, if my friends are over,
it's just,
or my girlfriend comes over while I'm playing Dota and I'm like trying to explain what I'm doing, it's like, I shall die, like every single time. But Day 9 just does that naturally, I feel like, with almost everything that he does. So that's why I'm excited for that dude, because he kind of encourages people to break out of that internal, or like the instinct mode, and make more conscious decisions in games.
Well, so last night I was gonna play a game with the boys, but they already had a 5-stack, so I solo queued, and within 2.5 minutes I got a captain's mode game solo queue.
Whoa!
Which was astonishing to me, and like in fact, when I got into the game, everyone's like, "Holy shit, is this captain's mode?" But that game was really interesting to me as highlighting how I've changed since I started playing with our team, Blitzkrieg Gaming. Because I was captain, did they get rid of the become captain button? Because I didn't click it. It's just I loaded in and I was captain.
It's the person with the highest MMR is automatically captain.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they changed it a while ago.
Which is bullshit. Wow, okay. That's kind of like why I stopped.
Yeah.
Well, it worked out in this case, I think. Because first off, before I started playing with you guys, I wouldn't, like, I learned how to draft. Like, I always analyzed draft and liked drafting as part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think about too much about what I would do. And we outdrafted them really hard. And then, like, we were in the game and we were talking and we were playing. And just, like, this stuff is, like, this isn't impressive shit, but this is shit I would not have done before, where it's, like, someone gets ganked top and immediately I'm, like, push bot. Like, not a big deal. They're dead. We'll deal with that. Let's capitalize on the opportunities that this gives us, right? And that's sort of one of those things that I wanted to lead into also, which is talking about that skill plateau, and sort of learning things but not being able to implement them, which is the best analogy I can come up with is actually one for fighting games, which is when you practice like combos in a fighting game and then you go and play a game, dollars to donuts, you're not going to do a single one of those combos, because it's just not like that combo exists in your brain as knowledge of a thing you can do, but it doesn't, like, you're not used to thinking of it in the context of a thing you do in a match.
Yeah.
And so it just doesn't occur to you. And also, even if you do, you get, nervous and fuck it up. And there's a lot of knowledge like that we have in Dota. Like, for me, until very recently, that's how tread swapping was, where it's like, oh, I know I can do this thing. I never remember in the moment, you know? And I think we all at this level, like, when I say at this level, I don't mean, like, anyone around 3K. I mean, like, anyone who is sort of stuck in their MMR but has spent a lot of time learning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of knowledge that's just sort of cached in there, but we haven't figured out how to effectively apply it in our matches.
Yeah.
I've been at, like, I play solo queue so infrequently now, I have never felt a plateau, actually.
Hmm.
I kind of like my strategy.
It's either like rising or declining action.
It's only rising actually in the past many months. Yeah, I don't play much. So like I'll, play with our 5-stack or 3-4-stack whatever for a while, and then every once in a while like I'll do a solo queue like probably at least twice a week, but more often than not they're wins because I've like been playing so much unranked or like so much party ranked. I just keep slowly ticking up. I'm like 3.2K now, which is weird. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I probably went down to 3.1 this week. Maybe.
I'm still bouncing up and down in the 2.6 range. That one time I kissed 3K, I got within, I think, 5 MMR of it. And since then, I went down to 2.6 and I go down to like 2.614 and then up to like 2696, and then down to 14, and then up to, it was back and forth and back and forth.
Just gotta play
that much solo queue either, though. Well, actually, I play very infrequently, and maybe that's the issue. I don't know.
Yeah, there's probably a sweet spot, I'm sure. Just solo queue is certainly its own game. But
for me, I hit
like playing infrequently.
I hit these like spurts, I guess, of games where I just like I gain MMR mostly in big like
sweeps,
fucking chunks, yeah. And then I plateau, or then I lose a little bit of what I just gained, and then plateau at that. Like my MMR graph is like a weird. It's honestly just a series of plateaus, which is crazy. Like it's super indicative of like how I learn and teaches. It taught me a lot about like. I mean, it's still teaching me because I'm not over it, right? I'm still doing the same thing, but yeah, it's kind of cool, like to see how I learn something like Dota, like something as complex as Dota. And I don't know. I think like I need to hit. Like I'm constantly searching for the next thing that's like, if I can get better. I was gonna say perfect, but I don't think that's a realistic goal.
Can never perfect anything in Dota.
Right. I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not.
No.
Okay. But yeah,
that's how I feel.
If I can get like a lot better at like communicating, or I think that's how, like at the lower MMRs, that's how I had a couple spurts, is I was just like telling people,
yeah,
what to do,
making it not solo queue.
Yeah. And then I focused on like positioning, or I focused on farming as a support or something like that. And like that'll bring me from like 2.2k to 2.4, 2.5 or something like that. And then I just plateau again, and then I'm trying to like scramble and find the next thing. Yeah. And I don't know what this is right now. I'm kind of stuck at 3.2. So like looking for that next thing.
The next hit.
Yeah.
The MMR gain.
Yeah.
Well, be careful you don't let it turn you toxic. On an unrelated note, there was an interview this week with PPD. The interviewer was the Counter-Strike primarily commentator Thorin. Side note, Thorin is a piece of shit.
Garbage.
But so the interview was really interesting.
Wanna,
he talked.
Cool. Do you want to quantify that, or just like make a broad sweep?
So like instead of using something, or like you feel like it has no use, you put it in the garbage can when it's done.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Like maybe a garbage can specifically for misogynists. So
got it. I don't know who he is, so you kind of had to like.
I have made sweeping statements about Counter-Strike commentators before, and that is unfair of me. But there are quite a few Counter-Strike community personalities who are just awful human beings. One of them once assaulted a Dota player, actually choked him. I think we talked about that on the podcast back in the day.
I heard about that back when I played League. It was even a big deal.
Yeah. Exciting. So the interview was really interesting. PPD talks about all sorts of stuff, and he's being like more candid than I maybe have ever heard him, because he's talking about other players, and of course that's all, you know, what it is. But there's a lot of stuff about like sort of him talking about things he's done to build his own personal brand. Like we talk about him as this master drafter and this, like Emily will jokingly refer to him, or maybe not really jokingly. What am I saying? Not jokingly. Refer to him as the angriest man in Dota. And that's intentional. He has intentionally built that personality is basically what he says. And like certainly with the drafting, with like the draft breakdown videos, of course he does those on purpose. And he says like, you know, I do them always at least this amount of time after the major, so that the major's still fresh in people's minds, but I'm not giving any sick strats, and I still get a bunch of people to go, wow, you're so smart. But like this interview comes out in the same week as a pretty good stream clip of PPD. Nick, you wanna tell us about that stream clip? I saw that one as well.
The Invoker Sunstrike one. Yeah. I mean, I knew Emily thought, no, PPD's trash, he's garbage, angry man in Dota. And, like, I haven't really listened to him much. And then there's this stream clip that comes out where, he's playing Void and he chronos a Slurk or something, and then he asks for a Sunstrike, and oh no, the Sunstrike is just off the mark, and then he just goes off on this Invoker.
And the whole time, the Invoker is just quietly being like, I'm sorry, I messed up.
I mean, he said that he was flaming earlier, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And also, part of what I found interesting about that clip is I've seen plenty of pro players rage, right? But it wasn't like, I don't know, like, when Sing Sing rages, he's like, you fucking piece of shit, you moron, or whatever, right? He's just, like, flipping out, like, over the top about just, like, you know, full-on rage. And PPD's is a way more measured malicious anger.
Yeah.
PPD's is him going, like, no, it's fine, it's fine. There's a place for people like you. It's called low priority. It's like, whoa, buddy, calm down. Yeah, I don't know. I think, this is alongside that interview of him being like, no, I do all this stuff to build a personality. And it's like, well, maybe you shape that personality to sort of resemble yourself because you're an asshole?
I mean, maybe? I'm pretty sure everybody does this. And I guess people don't think about it a lot. But, I think they're all trying to have a persona because that's how they stay popular and that's how they make sure that they're on teams and have a good career prospects and stuff, because in the end, you know, people don't like watch Purge and love Purge because he's the Dota god, which he is, but it's because, you know, he has the Purge persona. He's super dry, he's super smart, but he can explain it really well to noobs, and it's his dry humor and his persona.
It's, and his consistent no sell. You tell the funniest joke in the world and you get half a second of smirk out of Purge and you're like, damn, that's it?
Always watching, waiting. Yeah.
And I don't know, Jesse.
Artura has his, he's the baby rage.
Are we talking
about, I don't know, Jesse.
Talking about who we watch? I don't think if you watch anybody.
How people construct their personas.
Yeah. Like the efforts that pro players or big streamers go through to sort of establish a personality, I guess.
I think that it always starts out with their personality, like their real world personality, and then kind of like people, I don't know, maybe you realize that like, okay, this is what people like about me, so you'll amplify that. But at the same time, I don't know. Like, I honestly feel like Arteezy isn't disingenuous. He's a child, right? But that's his thing, but I don't feel like that's crafted. I mean,
it's not that all this is disingenuous. It's just, you know, life imitating art, art imitating life, yada yada. If you decide to
you lean into a part consciously of your personality.
Or not. Yeah.
But I don't feel like all Dota personalities do that. I don't know. I like the streams I like.
I mean, I think we all do it.
Crit and Zai and the low key boys are I don't know. If you ever watch a Zai stream, there's not a lot there that he could amplify. You know, just chill house music and him
I mean, that's something in itself. It's not that I think people every Dota personality is being disingenuous. It's more that I'm sure they're always thinking about, how they appear. Everybody's always self-conscious, and they're all, if that's part of your entire career, I'm sure they think about it even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's probably different for players, too, than, the...
Yeah.
The Purge or the Slacks.
Unless the players want to become people after,
Yeah.
Their fingers get too slow and they start falling off.
I guess.
That's what happens, right?
I mean, Dendi still gets a bunch of views even though,
Dendi's the nice guy. He is a nice guy.
But not really that much in pubs. I mean, he's not, mean in pubs. He's just sort of a dude in pubs.
Yeah. I mean, he's the dude.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
he's a bro.
Whenever you're using examples, Puppy or Dendi is kind of a weird example because he's just kind of like he's just made forever in Dota.
Yeah.
I don't know. In other Dota news, Beyond the Summit has added a Portuguese casting team, which is pretty...
Is this their only non-English casting team?
Beyond the Summit themselves, I think so. I mean, like, okay. I think technically they have enough people who speak Chinese that they could do that if they wanted to, yeah. But it would be weird, because it would just be Merlini and Winter. but, yeah, I think that's their first non-English casting team. And then Portuguese is exciting, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good Portuguese casters I've seen clips of. I just saw this tweet and I put it up in our notes because I'm like, I really know so little compared to like other sports or things about non-English stuff that goes on. Like the whole Eastern Dota scene. Do any of us know anything about it, really? Occasionally,
yes,
like,
but
I don't know. I'll hear casters Colin be like, oh, yeah, Ember Spirit's very popular in China. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Glimpse behind the curtain.
I try to keep up.
How?
It's harder than I would. I mean, like, a lot of r/Dota 2? I don't know.
But is that like, that's non-English?
I mean, they talk about non-English teams, yes, if you seek it out. I mean, like, it's hard to get a direct source, because the direct sources tend to be in Chinese. Yeah. And I don't really know very much Chinese. I know how to say mother, but, like... I think I know how to say mother and horse because they're two intonations of the same word, and I'm not sure which is which.
I know how to say hello, thank you, and boobs. So,
sure. You know, the essentials.
Yep.
Just learn bathroom, and you're ready for a visit.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Brazil is probably like. So China has a lot of casters, obviously, and Russia has their casters, and I think Europe. For the most part, we'll watch the English cast because Europe is like cultured enough to like
be
encourage
majority English still.
Yeah, I mean, especially you know, we could talk about like geography and the impact of learning a central language.
Let's do that.
No, I think
okay.
Brazil.
Welcome to the geography podcast.
Brazil is probably the next logical leap, or I'm more. I don't know if it's the next logical leap, or maybe it's just like. They had a team of casters who took the initiative to be like, hey, we are professional. Can we give this a shot? Can we give like our spin on it a shot? And it was good enough for them to be like, yeah, go for it.
I mean, is this like a common thing? Like, I literally have no idea. Is there like this whole in the Dota coverage where like, you know, non-English people could come in and become big names?
I mean, like in... sort of official coverage? Absolutely. I mean, like, you can tune into, like, I mean, even just anecdotally, if you click on a VOD of a pro game and you go into your list of commentator options, you'll see ones for all sorts of languages, but they're not, like, organizations. They're just these guys who are like, this is a community that's unserved and I want to serve them.
I'm sure if you're from Russia or the Ukraine, like, maybe some of those personalities are bigger than the smaller English-speaking Dota personalities, or, like, the same with China. You know, like our scope is so limited to people who only speak English.
I mean, at TI, there's even the majors. I think there's international casters.
Yeah,
but I have no idea their scale of popularity. Like, is you know, we think Purdue is amazing. We think Red Eye is amazing. Are we, you know, super celebrities, or are we just chump change to you know the Russian Shiver or?
I know
Chinese
that the Russian
purge.
Casters are quite popular. I don't know as much with China. One thing that's interesting with the Chinese casters is that a lot more of them are women. Like, the ratio of women to men is a lot closer to even than it is anywhere else.
Yeah.
I think like, I noticed that, yeah.
We have, like, you know, in America, we had Shiver for a long time, and now we're getting Android. And that's it.
Yeah.
Those are the women of Dota right now, which is, well, it's kind of depressing. I mean, like, shit.
And Merlini.
Very recently, Newbie, with their
nice
team Newbie
joke,
Boss,
Nick.
Broke the seal on having a female player on their major pro team.
So stoked. Mm-hmm.
It's fucking fantastic. I'm so excited. And, like, I'm also really excited that it's not like, oh, here's the women's team. It's like, no, she's just fucking playing on a normal team. Don't be a jackass.
Yeah.
And I'm also glad that she's a mid and not a support. Like, there's nothing wrong with playing a support, but we all know how fucking, like, weird, like, power society Dota is.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? It's not cool. It's not necessarily cool that there is just a girl on the team, but, like, Dota and esports and, like, video games and the goddamn internet is so male-skewed that, like, just having a female esports player, like, makes the community more inclusive, and that's what, like, it's important to make the distinction that, like, one girl is... that's cool, and people can be excited about it, but really we should be, like, more cognizant of the community shift into, like, something more inclusive so that women are more, or, like, you know, even younger girls are more, less apprehensive about playing video games. What?
He was making a hilarious reference to a thing that happened on, was it Admiral? No, it was Wagamama's stream, where a person came on mic to declare that they were going to get a bounty rune. Their voice appeared to be that of a lady, and another member of Wagamama's team hilariously panicked, "Ah, Grill," which
kind of sums up.
But and like,
much.
See, like it sums it up, and like
that's actually a good reaction, though.
Is it? Is it like
comparatively?
I have three older sisters. I have talked with some of them about the experience of being a girl online and hearing astonishment at the fact that you exist, and it's very fucking tiring.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're not being a dick, and yes, that's improvement over being a dick, is being like, whoa, you're a girl. Technically, that's not as bad. But God, that's exhausting. God, it's like, it wears you out to have people seem astonished that you're allowed to breathe and be in their space.
But compared to
things
I've encountered in pubs.
Yeah, no, it's obviously better than how it could
be. Yeah.
But it's worth noting, like, hey, like let's not get to a point where it's like, ah, Grill is the great normal. Yeah.
I think it's a step in the right direction from
Sure. Yeah.
My cousin used to play Dota a lot more than me, and she was like even in the ranked Dota games, which I think that, like, Emily has talked a bit about being a woman playing video games before, like, playing competitive video games, and specifically Dota before, but I don't know that I can't speak for Emily, but I don't think that she plays ranked as much as, like, my cousin Charlotte used to play ranked, and she used to, like, we would play with her, and she would just, like, not talk in games, like, she would close her mic, because people would just, like, she would fuck up like literally everybody does, you know, like everybody makes a mistake, but the instant like reason for her fuck ups was that she was a woman, and it was like totally infuriating. And I don't know. It's like,
yeah, I don't even know like how you the ratio is so bad. How do you even like fix that in Dota?
Well, I mean, there's that classic there's a web comic which is just like a quick two panel web comic, which is two people there's a man standing on a blackboard, and the person behind him says, "Wow, you're bad at math," and there's a woman standing at the blackboard, and the guy says, "Wow, women are bad at math." It's like, yep, that's just how it goes sometimes.
If you're like, the question was like, how do you fix that? I think having a female pro is like a super big step in the right direction.
Yeah, because, for sure.
Like, I mean, I don't know how much effect it's going to have in every single game, but if you're a woman and somebody's like, I don't know, blaming a mistake that you made on you being a woman, you could be like, well, there's a fucking female pro now, so...
Yeah. I realize, oh, wait, all pro teams are just a bunch of guys. I was just used to that. Yeah. Didn't realize how weird that was.
You know what I want to see? I think would be a good step. I want the Dota Bechdel test. I want a cast that is Shiver and Android with no men there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Be fun.
So, and you know, a woman talking to a woman and not talking about a man, unless it's, you know, Juggernaut, which is fine. Because Juggernaut's
so it would be Shiva and Android talking about the one female Dota player.
I mean, why not? If they did a stream that was them like talking to her, like an interview to her,
that would be amazing.
Yeah. I hope so.
And, you know, like, I think that might be a good place to draw some attention to the community about, like, some of them think the Aw Grill is fine, right? A lot of them, I'm sure, are sort of like, ah, no, we're being funny, and we're not at all, like, bad to women in Dota. And, like, having the two casters and the one major Dota pro that are women all sort of sitting down and being like, nah, guys.
You
like,
realize you're kind of
fucking this up.
Idiota.
I feel like that could really, I don't know, open some people's eyes. Maybe I'm being too optimistic, but
gotta start somewhere,
I guess.
Damn internet.
Anyway, also Star Ladder started on Monday.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, I haven't watched any Star series. Have either of you watched any Star series?
Very briefly.
Negatory. I just noted it's happening, and Secret is back for the first time since Puppy.
Oh yeah,
has been
revealed
as the mastermind of.
Yeah, I should check some of that out. I want to see how the new Secret is. Okay. Well, we'll try and talk some more about the.
That was good audio.
The actual pro scene.
Good podcast audio right there.
Listen.
Ooh.
Oh.
Listen. Colin's getting a massage while he records. Oh.
lower.
Oh, that's some good. Lower. That's a good Foley there.
Yep. Oh, here. All let right. me walk around.
That wasn't Foley. That was a weird soundboard input that Nick had was massage sound.
Yeah, I just happened to also have massage sound. Massage sound one. Massage sound two. Massage sound three. Oh, that was a good one.
It's not as staticky as your usual soundboard. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Here, I can slow it down.
How long is this bit going to go on?
More or less. You had a really shit early.
All right, Nick, you added something to our patch notes mid podcast here. Why
patch
you
notes?
Go ahead?
I put it in somewhere.
Fuck it. Jesse Bottle Crow
thinks
notes.
It doesn't matter. How do you beat a Drow, Venge, Luna, Necro, and something else strat?
Stardar. You ban them.
No, you pick up a split pusher. I don't.
But how do you split push when they're just five man?
Also, how do you split? Like, Luna's a pretty good split pusher, dude. So is Drow.
I mean, you can go kill them, but like if they're five manning,
can you?
It takes
need help.
You can go die to them.
It takes a
send
very
your MMR
specific
too.
Counter. It takes a very very specific counter. But
what
I don't,
is that counter?
Like, a split pusher, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe
it's like,
just teamwork, I don't know.
Okay, like, the heroes themselves aren't specific, but you have to do specific things when they do specific things. Like, if they are five-man doing one lane, then you can technically do two if you picked the right dudes. Like, a Jug can take, or like, a Dragonite can take a tower not as fast because they take a tower super fast, but like, you can still trade, and is like pretty strong late, but the Venge and the Drow are exploitable late, I think, and it's not unbeatable. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean nothing in Dota is, but
maybe actually a Klinx with a Deso that takes powers.
He's not.
Fast.
He's never gonna get farmed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like everything I come up with, I was like,
you need something with a tool set that, lets you split push, not just like item dependent. So like Dragonite or Juggernaut, or if you can pick something, like if you can maybe go defensive tri-lane with an AM, and as soon as he gets, like maybe do AM Battle Fury Boots of Travel or something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, while we're doing all the theory crafting, let's say something concrete for our listeners at home. Don't pick Enchantress, maybe, into that.
I don't
maybe
think
don't
that's
do that.
The right pick either.
It was real bad. Yeah. It was real rough. I had a bad game.
I think everything is bad against it. You have to specifically counter it.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons Demora's. That I feel like 5-stack v 5-stack all pick is just fucking stupid. It's like, if you've got two 5-stacks, just either play random draft or play captain's mode, because if you do, like, it's possible that both five sex will be like, I don't know, what do you feel like practicing, like we often do, and just pick something, right? But if either one of them decides, let's pick our wombo combo team, then it just turns the game into a farce, because things like that's why bans exist, is to stop shit like that from happening.
Yeah.
Is that if you see this shit coming, you should be able to do something about it, and you can't.
I feel like I don't know. Sorry, it was good. More, we're just like in the section of the podcast where we do a lot of like really, really good audio, and it sounds really good. No, I don't know. Maybe. Okay, so in StarCraft II, there was a lot of cheese that you could do for each race. And this drought, like a drought vigilantist strat, sounds it is inherently cheesy.
Like a proton cannon rush.
Yep, or like a zergling rush, or something like that, or super hard Terran turtle. Or anyways,
I feel like this is so easy to execute, though.
Yeah, and well, it's so easy to execute because the counters aren't as clear as just like if you scout a proton cannon rush, then you can beat it pretty easily, or if you scout like a zergling rush, then the counter for that, the way to beat that is like pretty clear. Everybody knows how to do that, and if you execute it, then like beating a cannon rush or beating a zergling rush is like pretty fucking easy, honestly.
Yeah.
But like beating a drow vigilant strat takes like if they fuck up on taking one tower, then like the chances are 3 minutes later, then they can just try and do that exact same thing again. And if you're not on the ball, then it'll just like. They can still make it work, you know? So I feel like, yeah. I don't know how to, like, make Dota, but if you can make the counters for that more obvious or stronger, then that would be cool, please.
Yeah.
Okay. So previously, on a previous podcast, I told you how to fix illusions with an item I called the Reality Anchor, right?
Yep.
I have a new idea.
That's dangerous.
It's an anti-aura.
Anti-aura.
It's an aura that negates other auras.
It's a nice aura there. Got an aura for your aura.
Maybe it's an anti-mage agonyms because he's just anti-anything. But no, not really.
Just add it to his current eggs. Just keep making it better.
This idea is hot off the presses. It's not super developed, but it's something to think about.
Auras be dashed.
Or, like, what if you could, like, make auras, like, shrink? Because they're kind of, like, oppressed? Anyway, this is really not the time to
be... Gotta stop oppressing these auras.
This is really not the time for, like, some like, man fucking hot-off-the-brain, like, yep. game development. Man. So let's talk about Queen of Pain.
Quap.
Why... She's really fun to play. Why do they attach to that hero who is just garbage? Like, gameplay-wise, Queen of Pain is fantastic. Everything but gameplay-wise, Queen of Pain, God damn it, I did it again.
These queens on a plane.
Queen of Pain, train, and automobile.
Sick and tired of these queens on a plane.
She's trash. Her lore is trash.
Yeah, see,
her visual
I totally
design
disagree.
Is trash. Her voice acting is trash.
She's literally a succubus. Copy-paste from
she's
Demon
the least
lore.
Interesting version of a succubus. I have seen... Lots of succubus in my life.
She
that
like
is the
enslaved
least
the king,
succubus
right?
I've ever seen.
We enslaved the king or something. Or she was enslaved by a king and then like slowly became I don't know.
She was enslaved by a king and then she pushed him out a window. That's really it. That's not that interesting.
I mean, it's Dota lore. How much can we expect?
Well, if you want me to talk about Oracle or Sniper. Was there a prophecy that she'd push him out the window? I don't think there was, because I know Dota lore really well.
Prophecies I'll give you a prophecy.
Okay, what's the prophecy?
Your MMR will change.
I'm not going to play any Dota.
Your MMR will change.
Bullshit.
Whoa, boy, I'm going to have to edit that one out, because that sounded really bad.
I'll handle the jokes around here from now on, Nick.
I don't get
that's only going to make it worse. Fine. I think it's fine. I don't know. It's definitely bullshit. Like, it's definitely a fucking dumbass thing.
I mean, Dota lore. Oracle was shot out of a cannon in another dimension.
But it's fun, at least. The ancients
are like shards of a moon. I don't think it's fun.
I don't know that I need to beat this. Like, I'm coming back to this because I hadn't played her in a long time, and I played her and had a fucking good time because she's really fun, and I wish it was attached to a different hero. But, like, if you really want to hear me bitch, we recorded an episode a long time ago called The Queen of Paincast. You should probably listen to that one.
Evidently.
That's the real, bitch fest about Queen of Pain.
Vendetta.
Oh, boy. It's a thing. But, yeah, I don't know. We've sort of gone through a transition from the 6 world to the 7 world, to the world of 7.0 and beyond.
Yep.
And I don't know, I feel like that was a bumpy ride there. Like, what was your approach and how did you go about learning the new patch?
Put your rope around the belly, then you get on top, put one hand under the rope, wrap it around your hand, grab it, and then you hold on for 7 to 8 seconds.
Which one? You had that so good until you didn't know the last
7.5
for maximum bull riding points. It's 8 seconds.
Eight. Okay.
And maybe why do like, either of you know this?
I watch bull riding. PBR is pretty cool.
I've been to a bull riding.
There you go.
Competition. I told you I live in a rural place.
I'm from Texas.
Down at our ag center, there's bull riding competitions.
I mean, technically I'm in Missouri, but I'm still really from SoCal, so I guess it doesn't really count. Okay, fine. Cycle. This is your rural.
You just
farm.
Yeah, fine. I had to hold on for dear life, and then things eventually settled out, and it feels like Dota again. But it was trying to buck me off. I could feel it. You just gotta move your hips.
You had to, in my opinion, you had to get back to those, like, the basics. Like, people were I'm not going to say people because it's a generalization, but I can speak for myself. I think that I was too focused on, like, what was new, and then I needed to focus on what I played, like, what I was good at before the patch, and then, like, slowly the newer things would happen in my games, and then I would just, like, apply those to how I was playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, having all the new shit at the same time made people just focus on the new shit, and when I think, like, a much more effective way of learning it was just, like, playing the way that you did and focusing on what you did well before, and then
incrementing to
right and
fix what is broken now.
Yeah, I mean, all the new shit was still in context of pretty much the same goddamn game, so yeah, I mean, that context was lost, I think, on a lot of people, and the people who played well right off the bat were the people who were just, like, still playing the same old game, and were, like, still good at the same old game, and then
it just didn't even feel like the same game for me. Like,
that's what
with shrines and stuff.
Well, you're focused on the shrine, like, I don't know.
I mean, it just, like, changed how, like, the fundamentals of how I would play the game. Like, I have to be a little less conservative now. And I don't know. I mean, there's something to what you said, though.
For me, it was a process of questioning assumptions, right? Like, I had a way that I warded before, and I had to rethink parts of that. Not as much of that as I thought for a brief period, but I had to rethink part of that and how I went about my warding game, right? It was a lot like, you still want some wards that are sort of established to give you clear vision of possible hotspots and some sort of defensive security camera style wards, but you also want some, like, opportunity wards, right? You want to drop more wards, like, as things are happening.
Yeah.
Or, like, things like rethinking what offlane and safe lane mean, right? Because safe lane actually means safe lane now, where for a long time it actually didn't mean safe lane. Or sort of the opposite. Safe lane used to be the lane that was the good lane where things got done and, you know, everybody was happy. And now the safe lane is the lane where you need to stay safe.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting dynamic. And the off lane is pretty aggressive now.
You get an extra life every 5 minutes for the shrine.
Yeah, the shrines really are maybe my favorite addition to the game with this patch. I really love the way they change the flow of the game. I think they make it a lot more healthy, and I'm really glad that, unlike people were suggesting, they haven't made shrines refill bottles, because don't do that. But I don't know. It's neat to see how, like, yeah, a lot of the skills, as you say, a lot of the fundamentals certainly translate, Jesse. But I also think there's a lot of stuff that you got used to that is not as true as it used to be. I don't know. There are, like, item pickups or, like, ideas of I mean, there's always ideas of what items or heroes are good with any patch that changes. But there feels like there's some more basic concepts that change with this one.
I feel like it feels like a lot less changed now, whether that happened or not, and whether I'm just accustomed to the changes, and I don't remember Dota 6. But I'm having fun, I guess.
The Roche Pit still weirds me the fuck out.
Yeah, it's still weird. I'm sure we'll get used to it. Or they'll change it.
It is super weird, actually.
Wonderful Mr. Frog's Wild Ride.
They really should just turn Roche Pit into a boxing ring.
That would be good. It would be nice if it was a pit. Like, I saw a suggestion to, like, sink it down into the ground. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, that'd be so fucked. You'd be so screwed trying to do Roche.
Too bad. Roche is already kind of, like, bad compared to what it was. Like, a while ago, they nerfed the gold and XP bounty, so it's basically not worth getting for a while.
And also, the way the terrain is set up now, it's really easy to cast an AoE spell into Roche from anywhere.
Yeah.
You can approach from any angle and just fuck them up. God, you can do some shit there. All right, Nick, it looks like you had a custom game of the week for us.
I've been meaning to look at more custom games because I feel like there has to be some good stuff in there, or at least good stuff to play for 15 minutes. And this week we have Dota 2, but every time someone casts a spell, it repeats all spells cast before it. What happens is it's the normal Dota 2 map, but every time someone casts a spell, it repeats all the spells cast before it.
But, like, what does that mean? Like, okay.
Let's go for an example. Like, you load into the normal map, and you have the same starting gold and everything. What happens is that every time someone casts a spell, it repeats all the spells cast before it.
Right, you're just repeating the same phrase over and over, and that, like, does it repeat all spells cast for everyone in
the game? All spells cast before it.
That you cast. So
kind of. Yeah, so, like, basic example. It also changed during the game, so I don't quite know. But I was Bristleback, okay, and I took Cool Spray. And so, like, I stood in Fountain and I spammed Cool Spray once, and then I did it twice. But before the second one went off, the first one also repeated. So basically, I stood in Fountain for the opening minute and I kept hitting W. And then by the time I went to lane, when I pressed W once, I instead got 40 cool sprays.
I see. Did they cost mana or no?
No. They cost no mana. And they were at first delayed. So, like, I would see the animation for each, you know, it was rapid fire, but it was like a machine gun. And then suddenly during the middle of the game, it changed. So there was no delay. So there was just an instant, like, 100 cool spray around me and everything died. But that's the basic premise.
So here's the other question.
It's not balanced. Don't worry.
So you got quill spray and you stack quill spray, and every time you cast quill spray, you cast a bunch of quill sprays.
Yes.
Every time you cast snot, does it cast a bunch of quill sprays?
Yes.
Every time someone else casts a spell, does it cast a bunch of quill sprays?
No.
Sometimes.
No.
I think there's, like, a chance that whenever someone casts a spell near you, you also cast all of your spells.
I think there's a chance that this game is a buggy mess.
Also, all unit target spells have a 17% chance to be cast globally. So you'll, if there's a clockwork and a tusk, you'll see constant ice shards moving up and down the river, or just anywhere, and there'll be constant rocket flares going everywhere. It was great fun for 15 minutes. I highly recommend getting a stack and checking it out for 15 minutes.
The
and
example
then and then deleting it from your hard drive.
The example I saw was Baumy playing Leshrac, and it was just like, he just had like 20 Leshrac diabolic is edicts going at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I killed Roche level 1 with Bristleback after doing my minute AFK. I just walked into Roche pit, I pressed W, and he was gone.
All right.
It's as stupid as it sounds.
Glad we covered
it. Check
it
out.
On this informative podcast.
See, this is interesting because it's like, I would have highlighted, like, I probably would have highlighted a game that was one of the, like, the ones that's, like, attempting to be a total conversion of Dota. But you went for, instead, one that's like, what if Dota was fucking stupid?
I could have highlighted Dota Imba or the WTF Plus or Roche Pit Champions or something, but that's already on
the
front
page. Why can't you
page.
Give some love to Bleach versus One Piece Reborn?
Because that's been on the front page.
I've actually played that one and listened. It's a mess, but there's some ideas in there.
It was interesting. Yeah, I played
it's not good, but there are ideas in there.
There's just so many custom games. I'm just like going through and like randomly picking ones and seeing if they're crap.
Well, good news. We have lots of episodes of Bottle Crow to go.
Actually, we only have 2 left, and then it's over.
Really?
Yep, 44.
Here come the jokes.
You weren't told? Oh.
No. Oh.
I wish. Okay. 40, it's okay.
44.
He's in denial.
44. Was that a present joke?
Well, God, for...
No. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep, that was intentional. That was intentional. Okay.
Well,
I'll have to make the podcast...
Listen.
...rated.
If I'm running out of time for this for Bottle Crow, then I'm going to go ahead and shut this one down and get to work on the next, I guess.
Wow.
So, thank you, Nick and Jesse, for joining us here.
I'll have to save my recipes for next time.
Yeah, well, this podcast has gone not crazy
way
long,
too
but
long.
It's gone long. It's gone long for a while.
No, it's been way too long.
All right,
can I do some more Foley for you? Yeah, as you do the credits. I'll just...
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. This has been Ball Crow Reborn, a Dota 2 podcast. You can find us on
chains.
iTunes or Stitcher
clinking
or Google
chains.
Play.
If
you want to give us a comment or question, you can send emails to bottlecrowreborn@gmail.com. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're @BottleCrow. We're part of the Scanline Media family. You can find Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com. That is where I and a friend of mine do general video games criticism.
Browsing.
You can also find other podcasts there. And if you like our work there
Playing
or
Dota.
Here on BottleCrow, you can go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia and chip in. Any money that you give will go towards more coverage. A special thanks to Reddit user Promoti for use of his Harmonies of New Bloom music pack, which is our intro and outro music here on Bottle Crow. And a big thanks to you guys. And we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
I'm not allowed back.
Peace out.